Last Saturday, we were given a little break from our Lenten austerity. We had the great solemnity of Saint Joseph, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today's feast is even greater than that one. The feast of Saint Joseph, you could say, prepared for today's solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord, because when the angel came to Mary, she was already betrothed to Joseph. So Joseph has to be on the scene first. We celebrated him Saturday. Now, 7 days later, we celebrate this moment when this chosen woman is given this announcement or annunciation that she's going to be Mother of God. This is the center of our celebration, but today we also have a historic event associated with this day, because Pope Francis has asked the whole church to join him in consecrating Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary in fulfillment of the request of Our Lady of Fatima. So that's why we have this image of Our Lady of Fatima here. It's not an image of the Annunciation, it's Our Lady of Fatima. And these two little figures, they are children after all, Saint Francisco and Saint Jacinta are there at her feet. There were three shepherds. Sister Lucia has not yet been canonized, so right now we have two saints that are at the feet of Our Lady of Fatima. So we have two things to reflect on today, and I don't want to go too long because the liturgy itself is beautiful, and the act of consecration, which I hope you have, is very long. So I don't want to give a very long homily, but the two ideas are the Annunciation and the importance of the consecration of the Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So let's start with the Annunciation. This is the beginning. This is the first joyful mystery. This is the moment when God enters into His creation. Remember, at creation, everything was good, very good. But when sin entered the picture, it was marred, stained. God decided He would come Himself and restore creation. He would make a new creation. That was the will of God. I come to do your will. That's the will of God, to restore, to reunite, to make everything holy. But unlike the work of creation, the work of redemption involves free creatures. When God created everything, He just did it Himself. And He said it and it happened. But once He created free creatures, meaning angels and men, spirit beings and embodied spirits, human persons, then there's this added factor, that is, will the free creatures accept the plan of God? This is where Mary comes in. Because God did not want to simply change everything by His divine decree. He wanted the collaboration of a human person. And that human person is this simple, humble, unknown teenager from a backward town in Galilee. No one knew who she was. We think of her as Queen of Angels and Men, and you know, we rightly honor her as the greatest woman that ever lived. But at this time of the Annunciation, nobody knew that, including Mary herself. So God's great plan, an eternal plan for absolute restoration of everything, hinged on the response of this girl, this young woman. The angel comes to her and says, "Rejoice, hail, you're greatly favored, God is with you, this is God's plan for you." And Mary says, "Well, what? What?" She's troubled, She's confused. She's taken by surprise. The angel explains it to her. This is how God's going to do it. The power of the Holy Spirit. This child is going to be son of God. He's going to be son of David. He's going to reign forever. What do you say? Here's the deal. What do you say? And what we celebrate today is Mary's fiat. Let it be done to me according to your word. Let it be done to me. The perfect response of faith to the revelation of God. It's not something Mary came up with. It's not something that she figured out. It's not something that she even understood fully, and no one understands it fully. But she said yes to God's plan. And that's what we celebrate. When Mary said yes, then the plan could start in earnest. The word, the eternal word, becomes flesh in her womb. So what we celebrate today is not only Mary's yes, but the beginning of Jesus' human life. He was always God, but his human nature begins when he's conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin. That's what we celebrate today, and that's something that we should always celebrate. It's the turning point in history, human history and all history. We know that because everyone who's conceived takes about 9 months before birth. 9 months from today is Christmas Day, the birthday of Jesus. Everybody celebrates Christmas, but there's no Christmas without this feast day, Annunciation. An Annunciation is this extraordinary collaboration of the divine will and the human will of this young woman. This shows us the power of the human will, not on its own, but when we say yes to God, we unleash extraordinary divine power. Okay, once we get that, we can understand the importance of this consecration that Pope Francis will make today of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So let's reflect on this a little bit. This is entirely tied up with the message of Fatima. That's why it's good to have Our Lady of Fatima here. Mary appeared to three, again, obscure, uneducated, unknown little children in a little nothing of a town in Portugal, Fatima. And she came with, well, not as great a message as the angel Gabriel had, but a renewal of the message. Because every authentic apparition, every private revelation is a renewal, a reintroduction, a refocusing of the message of the gospel. So Mary says, basically, get back on track, world, follow Jesus Christ, repent, do penance, and trust yourselves to the my Immaculate Heart, and things will work out. And if you don't, well, there's going to be a war. And if you don't get your act together, there's going to be another war. So in the midst of this grand message of Fatima, which has been approved and reapproved by all the popes, Mary made this request that the Pope should consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart. In fact, when she said it in 1917, she said, "I will come and ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart." So she didn't ask for it right away in July of 1917. She came back to Sister Lucia in, I think it was, what, 1929 or some years later. Sister Lucia was already in religious life. And then she said, "Oh, now I'm asking for this because Russia is going to spread her errors all over the world. Nations will be annihilated and people will suffer, including the Holy Father." And you know the secret of Fatima, the three parts of the secret of Fatima were all about the terrible consequences of the human family turning away from God. And the answer being, turn back to God, follow this way back to God. Pray the rosary, do penance, entrust yourself to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart, consecrate the first Saturdays of every month. And so it's a path. The real secret, of course, is the gospel. I mean, there's no secret that's not has not already been revealed in Jesus Christ. But Our Lady at Fatima made this application of the gospel to our times. Now, Pope John Paul, after he survived the assassination attempt in 1981, he decided to, again, consecrate the whole world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, including Russia. And so that's what he did in 1984. And both the Vatican and Sister Lucia said that was it, that fulfilled the request of Our Lady. And in the year 2000, when the Vatican decided, when St. John Paul II decided, let's reveal the whole of the secret, it looked like everything had already been fulfilled, because Russia had already, the Soviet Union had fallen apart, communism had fallen apart for the most part, and we were on the verge of the third millennium, and so, and the Pope had already been shot and had recovered and all these things. So it looked like the message of Fatima had its, had run its course. Well, along comes last month, and Russia gets back on the scene and invades Ukraine. And naturally, anyone who knows the message of Fatima says, well, wait a minute now, well, how did Russia get back in on this? And a spreading war and violence and creating suffering for millions of people. You know, they say almost one-fourth of the people of Ukraine have left their homes. One-fourth of the total population of the country. Some over 3 million have left the country. Some 6 million or so have had to leave their homes, but they're still in Ukraine. Mostly they went west. Anyway, so here's Russia back on the scene, and the Christian response to war is prayer and penance. Prayer and penance, which is exactly the message of Fatima. Pope Francis, who certainly knows the power of Our Lady's intercession, knows the message of Fatima. He went to Fatima a couple of years ago. He says, well, let's reconsecrate Russia and Ukraine and the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So this is not a new thing. It's not a magic formula. It's not a, you know, it's not a trick. It's a return to the gospel. It's a return to the way that has been revealed to us. It's a return to to entrust ourselves to the powerful intercession of Our Lady. And so when he asked for that, and then he invited all the bishops of the world to join him, and I think most bishops are, for sure, the Filipino bishops are, the CBCP issued a number of circulars and promoted this, and all the dioceses I know are all having this consecration today. And that's what we're going to do at the end of the Mass, and that's why we have this printed version of the consecration. Now, to put this in the context of the war, because people without faith will say, well, what does that have to do with the war? If you want to stop a war, you have to have more weapons and more soldiers and more money. That's how people think about wars. Or you have to have a treaty and you have to have negotiations, and that's how you stop wars. Well, I turned to the document that the Church put out in the year 2000, precisely on the message of Fatima. A major part of it is Cardinal Ratzinger's interpretation of the message of Fatima. He goes through the different symbolisms and the different parts, and it's a very, very beautiful document. But at the very end of the document, this is what I want to read to you, because it's connected to today's feast and today's consecration. So this is the very last paragraph of Cardinal Ratzinger, who became, of course, Pope Benedict XVI, his official interpretation of the message of Fatima. Okay, remember, the message of Fatima is conversion, penance, prayer, the rosary, the Immaculate Heart. So that's the whole message. Now, this is what he says. I would like, finally, to mention another key expression of the secret, which has become justly famous. And then he quotes Our Lady, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. So this is one of the key expressions of the whole message of Fatima, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. So even though there's a lot of talk about wars and sufferings, it ends on a positive note, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. What does this mean? The heart, open to God, purified by contemplation of God, is stronger than guns and weapons of every kind. I think that's a beautiful thing to recall when we're facing a terrible war. What's more powerful than guns and weapons of every kind, including nuclear weapons? A heart open to God. And the heart most open to God is Our Lady's heart, the Immaculate Heart. Let's go back to what Cardinal Ratzinger says here. The fiat of Mary, which is what we celebrate today, her yes to God, the word of her heart has changed the history of the world because it brought the Savior into the world. Because thanks to her yes, God could become man in our world and remains so for all time. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's still with us. He's always with us. The evil one has power in this world, as we see and experience continually. Isn't that true? He has power because our freedom continually lets itself be led astray from God. But since God himself took a human heart and has thus steered human freedom towards what is good, the freedom to choose evil no longer has the last word. From that time forth, the word that prevails is this. This is the word of Jesus himself, quoting from John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The message of Fatima invites us to trust in this promise. So this is, I think, a beautiful fulfillment, not only of what was said at Fatima 100 years ago, but what was said by the Vatican 22 years ago, and now Pope Francis is leading the whole church to enter once again into this river of grace, this flow of power that is unleashed when we say yes to God.